Bible teaches that because of Euroclydon, the ship was hard to control. I can see that ship going back and forth, rocking back and forth. They throw things overboard to try to lighten the load a little bit. Fear came upon all 276 passengers, and these brave sailors were in the storm. They seemed a little bit overwhelmed. I can no doubt they were fearful. They were wondering, what we're going to do? They're in the midst of this storm, this Mediterranean storm, and 14 days, it rocked back and forth. These brave sailors, they were overwhelmed, much like your storm right now. You may be overwhelmed. You're just barely hanging on. You may be overwhelmed this morning. And in an effort to save the ship, these sailors, they would cast four anchors. Verse number 20, they cast four anchors into the seas, and the anchors proved ineffective against the dangerous raging winds and the storm, and the ship was ultimately lost. But on board of all these passengers, there was a man. He was a special man. He was a man of faith. He was Paul, the Apostle Paul. Why was he such a special man? Because he was a child of God. Let me just say this. You know what? You want to get some of these anchors, it's going to start with God. You know what? If you want to be anchored down and you want to be able to sail through life's stormy seas fairly easily, it's going to start with God. You know what? Why was Paul a special man? Why did Paul have a confidence and a calmness? Because he was a child of God. Let me just say this morning. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, boy, that's where it starts right there. Boy, you feel empty this morning. You don't know 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven. You know, God's word, not a Baptist preacher word, not a religion's word, but God's word says that you can know 100% sure that you have eternal life. Oh, I plead with you. That's where it starts right there. You may be going through some stormy seas, but maybe there's a void in your heart. There's a void in your life. You don't know. You don't know if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. Oh, that's where it starts. But why was Paul a special man? Because he was a child of God. He knew where he was going. Hey, you know what? If this storm went ahead and killed him, he knew that he'd be present with the Lord. He knew he'd be on his way to heaven. He was a man on a mission. He had to go to Rome. God says it right here. You know what? Paul, you're going to get to Rome. He was a man on a mission. He was a man of faith. He was in fellowship with God. He was in tune with God. Oftentimes, you know what? God will go ahead and speak to those who are in tune with him. You know what? And you know, if you take a backslidden Christian, if you will, let me use this one. It's the black. It's not the red one. It's the other one. Testing 1, 2. I don't know. Testing. Are we on? Okay. And you take someone who's dropped away from God, a backslidden away from God, and they wonder, why can't I go ahead and sail through life's stormy seas? Maybe like another person that you see. You know what? And by the way, they might be an example and a testimony to you that may have gone ahead and drawn away from God a little bit because they're in tune with God. God, they stayed in tune with the Word of God. And let me tell you something. The same blessings that they have, you know what? You can have if you're right here. You can have it. But the truth of the matter is it's our stubbornness. It's our own will. We follow our way. God, I don't think you can go ahead and handle this battle and so forth. So what we do is we draw away from the very one that will give you the strength to get through it. And all the while, these people that go through something just as much as you are, you know, they're sailing through it because they're in tune with God. Hey, let me tell you something. Paul was a man that he was in tune with God. He was in sweet fellowship with God. He knew God because of his faith and who he was in Christ. Paul was anchored in the midst of the storm, even though the ship wasn't, because of his faith. You know, before I go any further, do you have these four things, preliminary things? Are you a child of God? Because you're a child of God, are you on a mission? You know what? When you become a child of God, you know what? You're on a mission to go ahead and do everything you can for God. And because of that, are you someone that's full of faith? Are you in fellowship with God? Are you in tune with him this morning? Oh, these things are why Paul could be so confident and so calm in life's stormy seas. Hey, maybe right now you're on the mountaintop. Maybe right now your bills are paid. Maybe right now your car is running. Maybe right now you've got four good tires all the way around that car. Maybe right now everything's going pretty good. Maybe right now your health is real good. You're on the mountaintop. But let me just say this. Reality of life says that Euroclydon will come. You know, it'll come to every single one of us somewhere along the way. It could be a death of a child. We don't like to talk about it. It could be. It could be a death of a loved one, unexpectedly. Could be the loss of a job, as I'd mentioned before. It could be a whole host of different things. But let me tell you something. Paul, who went through many, many dangers and toils and snares, Paul went through many, many things, but he had a confidence through each storm. He had a calmness because he was anchored in Christ.
These sailors threw four anchors into the sea, and these four anchors failed, therefore causing much harm and much loss. By the way, you know what? Paul warned them. The man of God went ahead and warned them. You know, I love church, and boy, you say, well, you ought to love church. You know, you're the preacher. Yeah, but I love church. And you know what? And every time I get to sit where you sit and I hear a man of God preach, you know, let me just say this. And sometimes it's not always pleasant. And by the way, don't you think for one minute that the man of God is out sitting outside your window writing a whole list of things that you think we have time? We don't have that kind of time. But it may be the Holy Spirit trying to cut some things away and so forth, cutting some things away. And you may sit here and, the Holy Spirit might be dealing with you and you don't always like it and so forth. But let me just go ahead and say this. You know what? You ought to take heed. It may be a warning. Maybe that the man of God, just like what Paul did here, hey, you know what? Hey, you know what? We ought to just stay here. I don't think we ought to go ahead and say we ought to just stay right here and pray. Let's not move here. You know, the man of God went ahead and warned. Let me tell you something. If the man of God gets up here and he might preach with some toughness and he might preach, but let me tell you something. I'll just say this, and you can call it a defense on my part. I'm preaching out of love this morning. You know, I want nothing more for you to go ahead and succeed in the Christian life. I want God's blessing upon you. And sometimes I'll go ahead and be a little tough and so forth because the devil's tough. The devil's tough, and he'll do everything he can to throw his fiery darts at you, to try to weaken you, to try to cause you to backslide. And let me tell you something, sometimes we don't always like it. Sometimes we don't always understand it. Sometimes you go through the battles, and the preacher may get up, and he may have warned you of some battles because of maybe some sin or something in your life. Hey, the truth of the matter is, take it as a warning. Take it as a warning. But the truth is, Paul went ahead and warned these guys. Paul had four anchors. Had they gone ahead and listened to Paul in this particular chapter, listen, had they gone ahead and listened, you know what, there wouldn't have been the harm. There wouldn't have been the loss. There wouldn't have been the fear on that boat. But Paul had four anchors. These anchors gave him stability and to steady himself in life's storms. Even though the ship was shaken and rocking back and forth and broken, Paul was able to stand steady and strong and confident, and his faith was not shaken or rattled. If Paul can remain calm in the storm, I want you to know you can go ahead and have what Paul has too. You know, when the battles come, you don't know what to do. You don't understand the illness. You don't understand this or that. Let me tell you something. Let me just go ahead and say this. You can have the same four anchors. You can have the same confidence. You can have the same drive. You can have the same steadiness. You can have the same calmness that the Apostle Paul had. Hey, you know what? God's not a respecter of persons. What Paul had, we can go ahead and have too. What Moses had, we can have too. The power of God that these great preachers of the past, that the men and women of God that's taught in the Bible, you know, the power that they had, the salvation that they had. Hey, you know what? You can go ahead and have it too. What are these four anchors that Paul had him that kept him steady? Number one, he had the anchor of God's presence. Verses number 22 and 23. Let me read verse number 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst. Now, Euryclus, think of the position he's in right now. The boat's going back and forth. Everybody's fearful. Men, women, children, the sailors on there, the master of the ship, if you will, they've got the help, but they just don't totally understand. They're scared. No doubt every single one of them is scared, but one man's not. Maybe there's a little fear deep down, but you know, he's got a calmness, and he's kind of enjoying the ride because of what we're going to see this morning. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me." Guys, I kind of like that a little bit. I told you so. In a way, that's what he said. You know, you should have gone ahead and listened to me. Hey, fellas, you know what? We wouldn't be in this situation out in the middle of the Mediterranean had you gone ahead and listened. But, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. But now, okay, Paul's anchor, number one, strong anchor. He had the strong anchor of God's presence. But now I exhort you. He's building them up. You know, I think of the confidence he has right there. You know what? He's not there and said, "Well, I don't know what's going to happen." No. He was not shaken. He was right there. He says, "I exhort you, be of good cheer." The word "cheer" is not talking about being sad. No, be of good cheer. You know, he says everything's going to be all right. Let me tell you why everything's going to. Let me tell you why everything's going to be all right. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Confidence. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. You know what? Let me tell you something. Hey, sailors. Hey, children that's scared on the boat. Hey, moms and dads that's scared on the boat. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. You know what? Yeah, no, we shouldn't have. But you know what? That's hindsight. There's nothing we can do about it. Just forget about it. But here we are now. We're in the midst of this storm. And let me be of good cheer. Hey, let me build you up. Let me exhort you. Hey, you know what? There's not going to be any harm of this ship, of anybody on this ship. Every life is going to go ahead and be saved. You know why? Because they stood by me this night. The angel of God. You know, Paul had the presence of God in his life. In the midst of the storm, Paul knew he was not alone. Let me tell you something. You may be in the darkest valley of your life this morning, but let me tell you something. You know what? And maybe people don't understand it. Your preacher may not totally understand it. Your mama, your daddy, your friends, they may not totally understand it. But let me tell you something. Because of God and his word, you're not alone. He is right there with you. He is right there with you. They're stood by him that this night. Let me tell you something. You may be going through it right now, but they're stood by you right now. God. God. You can have that anchor of the God's presence just like Paul did. That confidence that Paul had. God came and ministered peace to his heart. Regardless of what tosses you to and fro, we can have that same kind of confidence. We can have that same kind of confidence and stability. God, are you there? And he says to Paul, who stood by him that night, Paul, everything's going to be okay. You can be confident that he will always be there. He promises always to be. You know, God never breaks his promises. He's a God that will always keep his promises. Man may break a promise. Man may go ahead and disappoint you by breaking a promise. Man may try to comfort, and oftentimes they can help with some words and so forth, and sometimes it can fail, but God's comfort is always sure. It's always sure. And God's comfort is always there. You know, David wrote in Psalm 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Maybe that's where you are this morning, the valley. But I love this. "I will fear no evil." Why will he fear no evil? "For thou art with me." You know, David said, you know, David, that great man of God, a man that was after, had a heart after God's own heart, a man after God's own heart. Psalm 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," that can liken you to your storm, that can liken you to whatever you're going through right now, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You may be going through it this morning financially, but thou art with me. You may be going through it emotionally, for that, but thou art with me. You may be going through it physically, but thou art with me. You may have lost your job, but thou art with me. You may have 4 flat tires on that Chevy out there, but thou art with me. Your car may not be running on that Chevy out there, but thou art with me. You may be at the end of your rope, but thou art with me. And let me just say this, if you're at the end of your rope, and while he's with you, go ahead and tie a knot and hang on. You just keep on hanging on. Say, what about Chevy? Well, I'm just kidding there, okay? All right, we can laugh this morning and even in the midst of preaching. But what I'm trying to say, you don't have to face it alone because he's with you. Because he's with you. And Paul believed in that. Paul believed in God. What encouragement it is to know that every valley, every step that you take, every pace that you trod, every trial that you go through, you know what? You can rest assured that there's nothing that happens to you that did not pass by God's desk. There's nothing. God knows every step that you're going to take this week, and he knows every step that you trod this last week. God knows every valley that you may face, even if you're on a mountaintop right now. God knows every Euroclidon that you may face. God knows everything about you, but let me tell you something. You can rest assured that there is nothing that passes by his desk that happens to you without his approval, and he'll always give you the grace to go through it. You can rest assured that since he knows about it, he'll give you that grace. You'll be graced with his presence. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. The Bible says in Psalm 23:6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." Also, David writing this, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, it would be good to just enjoy the presence of God like Paul did. He's there. Maybe sin that doesn't help you recognize that he's there, but he's there because the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, "I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm right there by your side." And by the way, it doesn't matter where you are positionally as far as a Christian. You know what? He is there. But like I said, it may be our backslidden state and our sin that doesn't recognize he's there. But he's there. For thou art with me. Even when you can't see him, he's there. You can rest assured that he's there watching, leading, guiding, and protecting. What is he doing? He's being God. He's being God. I'm reminded of a boy as he was growing up in a congested, busy city. His mother arranged for a teenage girl who lived nearby to walk him home at the end of the day from school. For this, she was paid a nickel a day. But this boy rebelled. He didn't like that. He was second grade. He thought he was a big boy. He kind of rebelled against mom and told his mother, I'll walk myself home from school. And if you give me the nickel, just give me a nickel a week, I'll be extra careful. And you can keep the other 20 cents and we'll both be better off. I tell you, what a wheeler and a dealer. But after a period of pleading and begging, this little boy finally got his way. For the next 2 years, he walked himself back and forth to school. It was an 8-block walk with many streets to cross. So he was careful and didn't talk to strangers who would get distracted along the way. He was very careful when he came right home. Years later, when the boy turned into a young man, he was bragging about his independence and reminded his family of how he had taken care of himself as a boy. His mother laughed and added the rest of the story. Did you really think that you were alone? Every morning when you left for school, she said, every morning that when you left for school, I left with you. I walked behind you all the way. When you got out of school at 3:30 in the afternoon, I was there. I always kept myself hidden, but I was there and I followed you all the way home. I just wanted to be there in case you needed me. By the way, that's what the presence of God is. You may not always see him. You may think you're all by yourself, but let me tell you something. He may just be a few paces back like this mama was, hidden. But mama wanted to be there just in case her little boy needed him. Paul had an anchor of God's presence. He had an anchor of the promises of God, verses number 24 and 25, saying, fear not. Now, first of all, you see the presence. He had an anchor of God's presence in verse number 23, 24, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. This is what God is saying, the angel of God is saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. That's a promise right there. Thou must be. The angel of God didn't say, well, I think, I don't know, this is a pretty tough one. You're right in the middle of the minute. Look at this, your ship is going to sink. This is not a good thing. You know what? No. God came down in his presence and said, you must. That's a promise. You must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You know what? Paul, you've got the responsibility. You know what? You've got the responsibility of this ship now, basically. All the responsibility of all the so-called leaders in that boat kind of was diminished. They were all fearful in their own little world. But you know what, Paul? God says, listen. We're going to get you to Caesar. And all of these people, the lives on this boat is going to be in your hands. And you know what? They're going to be safe as well. He promised. Paul had the strong anchor of the promises of God. As Paul was weathering the storm, the Lord came to him with a promise, reminded that he would stand before Caesar, that he would stand. For Paul, having a word from God was good enough. Paul didn't go ahead and say, well, God, this is a pretty tough one. Even though the angel of God was right there, God, and true. Maybe the angel could have gone ahead and snapped his fingers. But there was a reason for it. Let me just stop and say this. You go through a battle in your life, and yeah, God does have the ability, if he wanted to speak it or just snap his fingers and have it be done, he could have it be done. But it may be that he has that battle in your life to try to teach you something. Maybe it's trying to draw you closer to him. Maybe it's because he's trying to show you something. Don't squander a battle. Don't squander a storm. Learn something from it so that you can go ahead and teach somebody else down the road about how to go through it. That might be one reason why you have the battles. But Paul, for Paul having the word of God, a word from God, standing there right beside him, telling him, you know what, everything's going to be okay. That was good enough for him. He knew that God was as good as his word. You know what, by the way, church, God is as good as his word. The Bible says in Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. The battles and storms you go through are such that you can make it, and God tells you that you can. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know, there's not anything, there's not any storm in your life that you cannot go ahead and go through, that God will not give you the grace to go ahead and help you go through it. You know, you will not have more than you can handle. He's promised to go ahead and perform these promises. He has promised to go ahead and give you the strength. He's promised to give you the grace. His promises are steadfast and sure. You know, someone has said that there is over 8,800 promises in the Word of God. Someone who took much research, that's a lot of research when you think about it, and supposedly about 7,500 are promises from God to man. You know, let's notice a couple of these promises. Number one, there's several. I'm not going to go through all, obviously, 8,800, unless if you have all in the next couple days. But anyways, but you know, God promises, let me just say, God promises brighter days. Turn to Psalm chapter 30. You know what? You may be, this will encourage you. Psalm chapter 30. Maybe you're going through a dark time, but Psalm chapter 30. Read a few verses. Let me show you a few of the promises in God's word here this morning. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, and in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know what? God does promise better days. He promises that he'll go ahead and bring joy. You know, you may be weeping right now. You may be going through it right now, but it only lasts for a little while. And you know what? God promises brighter days. You know what? God promises deliverance. Turn over to Psalm 34. Just a few promises here. Psalm chapter 34. He promises deliverance in verse number 19. Verse number 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Boy, what a promise. Many are the afflictions. You may have some afflictions upon your life right now. You may be going through some tough times right now. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, look at this promise, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And I think that's kind of promise Paul was standing on right there. You know, I'm going through the storm of my life. You know what? The ship all around me is breaking up, and people are fearful. And Paul was, no doubt, maybe he looked at Psalms, and he had this up in his mind. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Paul was a righteous man, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. That's a promise that you can go ahead and count on. You have God's word on it. You know, everything is for our good. Romans 8:28, a very familiar verse, but you can turn to it if you like, so you can maybe mark it down or read it. Romans 8:28, very familiar verse, but we'll go ahead and read it. The Bible says, I'm going to go one more page here. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. You know, everything does work out for good. And we know all things, whatever you're going through, all things work together for good to them that love God. Divine grace is promised in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9. And just looking at a couple more promises, 2 Corinthians, maybe if you're not turning to it in time, jot them down, look at these promises later. I promise you they'll bless you like they did me this week. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he promises divine grace, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Again, this is Paul saying this. Most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then he also promises in the word of God, ultimate glory, Revelation 21:4, and I happen to jot this one down. God promises ultimate glory. Let me tell you something, when the day is done, when our life here on earth is ended, he promises glory for the saved, for the for those who have been saved. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Boy, what glory. You just think about it. You may be going through some pain right now, but God promises ultimate glory. You may be going through some death right now of a loved one, but God promises you ultimate glory. You may be crying and you may be weeping, and the Bible says there'll be no more tears. Hey, let what I'm trying to say, that Paul, he was grounded. How could it be confident? How could it be stable? How could it be calm in this big old storm of life? How could he go ahead and do it? Hey, he relied. He was anchored in the promises of God. He was anchored in God's promises. Claim his promises this morning. Allow God to give you the strength and the steadiness and the calmness that you need in the battle that you go through. Allow him to go ahead and steady you instead of you being tossed to and fro, wondering what to do, trying to figure out which way the wind's going. I don't want to go with opposition, so I'm just going to go ahead and blow with the wind. No, you may have to face some opposition by doing right. You may have to go ahead and face some battles, but let me tell you something. You can have the anchors that Paul had. You can be anchored in his presence, and you can be anchored in the promises of God. Paul was anchored by the presence of God. He was anchored by the promises of God, and Paul was anchored by God's providence. In verse number 24 of our text, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought forth to Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." God will go ahead and provide for you. Paul was told by God that the storm is part of God working out his divine plan in Paul's life. I mentioned it a moment ago. Don't squander the battles that may come in to your life. If you're in the will of God and you're going to face battles and you're going to face Euroclidons, you're going to face some trials, don't you go ahead and squander them. That's what he's telling Paul. At that moment in time, the storm was the safest place for Paul. You know what? If you're in the will of God this morning, you might be going through it. Instead of going ahead and bailing out on God, instead of bailing out on the will of God, you just go ahead and stand firm and you do what Paul did. And you, I promise you, the Holy Spirit's presence will come upon you. If you stand true and you stand strong, he'll give you a calmness. Right in the middle of the storm, he'll give you a calmness. At that moment, the storm was the safest place for Paul, and it's the safest place for you. Why? Because he was in the will of God, and God was working in a mighty way in the situation to bring about his will for Paul's life. You know, the safest place you can be is right where God wants you to be. What God did for Paul, he can go ahead and do for you. You know, it may seem like simple faith, but you know what? We serve a sovereign God. We serve a strong God, a sovereign God. That means he's in absolute control of everything that goes on. You know what? He's in control of the economy this morning. You know what? Our politicians may think they're in ultimate control, but the truth of the matter is, we may like it, we may not like it, doesn't matter where we stand there, but the truth of the matter is, God is still in control this morning. You know what? He still is in charge this morning. He's in absolute control of everything that goes on in our life and in this world. Isaiah 45:7, I form the light, he says, and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Hey, let me tell you something. God is still in control. James testifies of God's sovereignty like this. In James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variable, neither shadow of turning. If I did not know, let me just say this, if I did not know for a moment that God was still on the throne, if I didn't know that he was still in charge, I wouldn't want to live another second. But as long as I know that he's in charge of the storms of life, whether they come upon this world, upon America, upon my own life, as long as I know I'm in charge, I'm going to allow him to let them storms go ahead and teach me. I'm going to learn a lesson from this storm. I'm going to understand that he's going to provide in that storm. As he told, you know what? He told Moses. Moses was going through a very difficult time with the children of Israel. He told Moses, and I preached about it a few weeks ago. He told Moses. Moses was all shook up and upset. The children of Israel murmuring and complaining. And God went ahead and leaned down to Moses and talked to Moses and said, "Hey, you know, I want you to go ahead. I called you to go ahead and lead these people. Let me go ahead and do the feeding. Let me go ahead." You know, the children of Israel complaining about the manna and complaining about the food and all the complaining about anything and everything. And God said, "Hey, you lead them. I'll take care of everything else." Moses, you just go ahead and you stay in the will of God. Don't you quit. Don't you get discouraged. Hey, you stay as that man of God leading them children of Israel. You go ahead and you lead them. But let me go ahead and care for the provision, and he'll do the same with you. You may wonder, "You don't understand. My cupboards are empty. You don't understand. I lost my job. Preacher, you don't understand this, my health and all this other kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. You could be anchored this morning. God will go ahead and provide your needs. And let me say this. I can tell you a story, and I don't have a whole lot of time this morning. I can tell you story after story after story of God providing. Well, I've seen God just drop groceries literally on my doorstep. I've come into my house and say, you can call it breaking and entering, but I didn't mind it this way. I come into my house and my refrigerator was all stocked with food. I don't know who did it. Yeah, but what I'm trying to say, you know what, even in the moments of times being dark times in my life, you know, I've always seen God show up. I've always seen God go ahead and provide. Let me tell you something. You know what? You have the same God as I do. I have the same God as you do. We have the same God as Paul does. And what he does for one, he'll do for others. Paul was anchored by the providence of God. God took care of him and everyone on the boat. He promised he would. God will take care of you. You got to trust him. You know, a couple of illustrations here of some men that God miraculously provided for. It's coming going through some illustrations here this week. Emperor Charles V was trying to assassinate John Brenz, a friend of Martin Luther. Hearing of the plot, Brenz barely had time to grab a loaf of bread and duck into his neighbor's hayloft. There he hid 14 days. The bread was quickly gone, but the Lord sent a hen who showed up and laid an egg each day for 14 days. In this way, Brenz was kept alive. On the 15th day, the chicken didn't come. And the reformer wondered, what's he going to do? But from the street below came the cries of cavalrymen are gone at last. God provided. You know, in a similar way, a dog provided for the needs of another reformer by the name of John Craig, who was arrested during the Inquisition. On the eve of his scheduled execution, Craig escaped. But while fleeing through Italian backcountry, he ran out of food and money. Suddenly, a dog approached him with a purse in its mouth. Thief. But with a purse, a true story, a purse in its mouth. Craig tried to drive the animal away, but the dog persisted in bringing the purse to Craig, and it was enough money to go ahead and take him to freedom. God provided. Similarly, another incident, Robert Bruce of Scotland was running for his life, fleeing persecutors. He ducked into a small cave, and a spider immediately appeared and spun a web over the opening. Bruce's pursuers fanned across the landscape, knowing he was near. Two of them approached the cave, and one of them started to go in. The other one stopped him, saying he could never have gotten in there without breaking the spider's web. Bruce, he breathed a prayer, O God, I thank thee that in the tiny bowels of a spider, you can place for me a shelter. God simply provided. I'm reminded of the account in Genesis 22. God had told Abraham to take Isaac up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. And little Isaac, being a young man, little Isaac, you know, they're on their journey, and Isaac says, Dad, we're going up to the mountain. We're going to have a sacrifice unto the Lord. What do we, where's, don't we normally need a lamb? And you know what? Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. And you know what? We know the story. You know, at the time when he had Isaac bound up and on that altar and he had the knife stretched forth, the angel of the Lord said, hey, stop. And you know what? And there was a lamb. God provided. It's a fellow by the name, again in research, came across this, and I like the statements that he made. An author of, name of V. Raymond Edmond, he's author of a book called Quietness and Confidence. First, he made this statement, first he brought me here. It is by his will I am in this straight place, and the fact I will rest. Next, he will keep me here in his love. And give me the grace to behave as his child. Talking about the storms of life here. Then he will make the trial a blessing. Teaching me lessons he intends for me to learn. And working in me the grace he means to bestow. Last, in his good time, he can bring me out again. How and when he knows. But let me say, I am here. I am here. By God's appointment, in his keeping, under his training, for his time. Surely he understood that God was going to provide. You know, reading these stories and the biblical account of Abraham and many others and Paul here, you know, these stories of providence for others, you know what? It gives me the confidence that makes me want to shout in the devil's face as a storm's rages. You know what? They encourage me, saying, you know what? I can be in the lowest valley of my life and knowing that God will provide, and he's not a respecter of persons, knowing that he'll provide for all of these men and ladies that have gone ahead and seen God's provision. I know he'll do it for me. You know, how could Paul move forward here? How could Paul have the confidence, the strength, and the steadiness he had? A strong anchor of God's presence. He had a strong anchor of God's promises. He had a strong anchor of God's provision. And Paul had a strong anchor of God's performance. See, at the end of the story, verse number 44, let me read a few verses here. Of course, the ship is breaking down here. Let me read from verse number 39. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore in which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. When they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves under the sea. They took up the anchors, and again, the ship's just going back and forth. The ship is breaking down now, literally coming apart. And loosed rudder bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they should swim, that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And here's the performance of God, if you will. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. So it came to pass that they all escaped to land, safe to land. That's the performance of God. God promised it. Way back at the beginning of this voyage, God came down beside Paul and said, you know what, everything's going to be okay. You know what? And that caused Paul to be able to enjoy the trip, I think. He was the only one that could really have that soundness because God literally said in his ear, everything's going to be all right. You tell the people everything's going to be all right. So that enabled Paul that through all of this storm, you know what? In a sense, even though Paul had responsibility, and I think he was in charge of the ship personally at this time, but you know what? In a sense, he got to sit back and watch God perform. He got to sit back. He was anchored in God's performance, knowing that God was going to go ahead and answer and do what he says. He's as good as his word. Paul was able. He trusted in that. God did what he said he would do. God told Paul that all would be safe, and God went ahead, and all was safe in verse number 44. God kept his word and proved himself to be as good as his word. So why is it? So the steadiness of Paul comes from God's presence. He was anchored in God's presence. He was anchored in the promises of God. He was anchored in the providence of God, and he was anchored in God's performance. So why is it that some can breeze through and others can't? The reason is simply because they've got that relationship with God. And by the way, that's where it starts. You want to go ahead and have that anchor in your life, it's going to start. And if you've got an emptiness or a void in your heart this morning, maybe you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. It's going to start with an anchor of salvation. It's going to start with you understanding you're a sinner, understanding there's a price on sin, understanding that Jesus and Jesus alone paid for that price, and all you have to do is call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's where it's going to start. But Paul, as he went ahead and went through this battle, he had the anchors of God's presence, God's promises, God's provision, God's performance, and he saw God work. And what God does for one, he'll go ahead and do it for you. He'll go ahead and do it for you. It causes some who don't get shaken, who don't get rattled. And yeah, at one time in their life, they would get shaken and rattled, like maybe some of you this morning. You just don't know. You're in a dark cloud. You have all these questions, and you just don't know what's going to happen. And you're there this morning. You know what? You've got to go ahead and anchor down in God. But there's others that you know you're anchored in God. You're saved, and you know God's presence, and you know that God's going to go ahead and provide. You know that He's promised that He'd provide, and you know that He's going to go ahead and perform that which He says He will do. You trust that, and you're able to go ahead and sing that song, "We have an anchor. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain?" You know, you can sing, "We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love." Hey, you know what? What's the difference between one who can't handle the pressures? They're not anchored. But someone over here, they know they're grounded in God this morning. They know that God's presence is there. They know that He's going to go ahead and provide. They know that God's going to go ahead and perform what He says He will do. And they're here this morning. They're not wondering what's going to happen. They're able to stand true because they're anchored in Christ. But you're here. You're asking some of them questions asked earlier. What am I going to do about this? What do I do now, preacher? Where do I go from here? How am I going to pay these bills? Where's the money going to come from? What are the steps necessary to repair my health? Is he or she going to fully recover? Without my job, how do I pay these? And you sit there and you wonder, man, they're going through some tough times, and they seem to sail through because they're anchored this morning. Let me ask you a question. If you're going through it and you just don't see how it's going to happen, are you anchored? What are you trusting in? You're trusting in man's devices, or are you trusting in God? What are you anchored in this morning? You know, whenever I'm out soul winning, oftentimes I'll have people stop as I'm going through the plan of salvation with them. They'll stop maybe midstream and say, "You know, I got this question. I got this question. I got this question." I'll say, "That's a good question. But we'll come back to that after I finish what I have to say here." And oftentimes when I have their heart and I'm showing them the Word of God of how they can be saved and know for sure they're on their way to heaven, most of the time them questions don't pop up after they pray and ask Christ to come into their heart. Do you know why? They grabbed a hold of the main anchor. They grabbed a hold of the main anchor. Listen, I know a lot of your heartaches. You've trusted me enough to tell me and pray for me, want me to pray for you and to counsel you. Maybe you're here this morning. You know what? You're on the mountain. Everything's fine. It's blue skies right now, isn't it? But when the Euroclidon of your life comes, how will you handle it? Those that handle it with such grace are those that's anchored in Christ. But those who start wavering and start abandoning ship because they don't see how it's going to happen and so forth, they're the ones that need the assurance that God is going to go ahead and pull them through. Where are you at this morning? Maybe you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. If you were to die today, do you know 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? That's where it starts, right there. You've got that emptiness in your life, you're just not sure. Well, I plead with you before you leave church today, why don't you make for sure that you have a home in heaven simply by placing your faith not in a church, not in a sacrament, but in Jesus Christ. Because He loves you and He wants to save you. Our Heavenly Father, I know there's maybe some stormy seas here this morning in some people's lives, and they need some stability. They need some confidence like Paul, and it's accessible to them. But they just need some reassurance that you're there. It might be that they've just kind of drawn away from you, and that's why they seem a little doubtful about how they can handle some of these situations. And they may just need to come back to you. No, they've not lost your salvation. They can probably take us to a time where they ask Christ in their heart, but just they've drawn away from you. Therefore, a lack of trust and a lack of confidence that you're really there to help them. I pray, dear God, as they may be going through it this morning, that this battle that they're going through may be what is needed to help come to the right place, which is you, to anchor them. I pray, God, that even those that aren't going through it right now, they're not going through the battle, maybe things are going pretty well right now, but reality does say that we will have storms come our way. I pray, God, that we'll be ready and be strong when them times come and remain anchored in you. I pray, Lord, that if there's some soul here today, they don't know Jesus as Savior, that's where it starts right there. Because they've got to be anchored in you first, and then you can help with all these other areas. I pray, dear God, you bless. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe here today, you say, Preacher, I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know for sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but maybe you've drawn away a little bit, maybe some instances in your life, something, whatever, you're going through it right now. And therefore, you've lost your confidence in God. Therefore, you've lost that steadiness in your life. And you say, Preacher, and I won't call you by name. And you say, Preacher, I know I'm saved, but you know what? Boy, I'm unstable right now. There's battles in my life. I'm not anchored. Whatever the case may be, that's me. Would you please pray for me? Just pray for me. That's my hand. Here's my hand. Anybody? Please pray for me. Okay, you may put your hands down. You say, Preacher, I'm here. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. You know what? I know you said, the Bible says that's where it starts, is being anchored in God and His salvation. Maybe here today you say, Preacher, I don't know for sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. That's only through Jesus Christ. That's the Bible way. Say, Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I won't call you by name, but if that's you, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? I won't call you by name, but that's me. I don't know for sure I'm saved. Would you please pray for me? Our Heavenly Father, I sure do love you. God, I thank you for the anchor that you can give us. I thank you for these four anchors that Paul had that we can also have as well. The anchor of your presence, the anchor of your promise, the anchor of your providence, and the anchor of your performance. I thank you, God, for never leaving us comfortless. I thank you, God, for always being available to us. May we always make ourselves available to you. That's what's got to happen. I pray, dear God, that whatever decisions need to be made this morning, that they'll be made. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. Let's stand to our feet, heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. You didn't raise your hand a moment ago. You just come down, you shake my hand. We'll have someone show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. Maybe you're here this morning. Boy, you're going through it. But you need some stability in your life this morning. You need some anchoring down, so to speak, or whatever the case may be. And you need to make a decision between you and God as the music plays. Why don't you go ahead and do it? The music's going to play. I surrender all. Unstable this morning, won't you just come forward and say, okay, I'm going to anchor myself in Christ this morning. I'm going to stay anchored. I don't want this wavering life. I don't want to be unstable. I want to be steady. I want to be calm in the midst of life's stormy seas.